It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
I want a party. I want a samba.
Hello there, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email us at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org.
They can email you at msocey.
Oh, sorry, not we. I did that, didn't I?
You did that.
The person who makes
you
fun of...
You can email us.
The person who makes fun of we in sports talk. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes, and we have a blog which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Voice you heard is a man.
There's a lot of words there that people probably can't spell.
Oh, Tumblr?
Sociology, Tumblr.
Well, they have to spell it correctly.
Right.
So
they have to, yes, they have to spell it.
You know what? If you're a long-time listener to the show, you already know that.
That's true.
The voice you just heard, man who's just as tired. Not of each other, but it's been a long week. That's Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello. Yes, it is Pledge Week. We are rounding out the Pledge Drive. We are,
I guess, this 58 is technically
8 minutes away. And as of right now, on Friday, we are, just a little over $16,000 away from reaching the goal here.
So now's the time to show your support. Call 1-800-233-0020 or go to WFYI.org to show your support of Film Sociology. All the shows on HD2, like The Cool Down and
That's right.
Exponential Radio.
And let's put our, let's bury the old pledge bragging hatchet of if you make a pledge and you put in the comments that Kobe is cooler or better looking or whatever, that I would take you to let's just go out on a limb here and say if you put in your comments on the comments section of the pledge form at WFYI.org that you listen to Film Sociology,
you'll get a
Matthew and I will go to our favorite post show brewery.
Oh,
we might go to our favorite post show
Cajun
might.
Place.
Yeah, we'll go to our favorite post show brewery. We'll go to our favorite post show Cajun place and have a grand old time with you. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-233-0020. Give online year round at WFYI.org.
We might even have a hoot nanny.
It might be a hoot. I feel like there needs to be one more thing for it to be a hoot nanny.
What about a hullabaloo?
Like another event. I could see that being a hullabaloo.
Shindig?
It's a shindig.
Not American Bandstand. Too small.
No, I think for a shindig, you got to have more people.
And of course, we're also for Soul Train. Wow. Okay. So 1-800-233-0020 or WFYI.org to support all the shows on HD1 and HD2. And if you're listening to this on Sunday, you can still go to WFYI.org anytime,
right,
as Kobe said, to show your support. Wow, I guess we are having a pledged edition of Film Sociology. Glad we had this meeting. So now, Kobe, of course, played for you one of our favorite little sound clips from Gina. That's because Rio, and she was talking about the film Rio, because she wanted to party and she wanted to samba, as mm-hmm. they said in the first Rio film. Well, there is now Rio 2, because apparently...
Still partying. Still samba-ing.
Still Rio-ing.
Rio-er.
Apparently some questions were left unanswered from the first Rio.
I never saw the first one.
I never did either. And I have a 12-year-old that bothers me saying I need to watch the first one because it's very good. So, yes, Jesse...
Is it the Indianapolis Film Journalist Association consensus that Rio was good, or is Emma hearing from that it is good?
Emma.
Okay.
No, Emma has seen it and
Emma has seen it. I thought you said she wants to see it.
I have not seen Rio 2 or Rio 1.
Right.
Emma has seen Rio, and she's bugging me about seeing Rio.
Oh, because you need to see it, Or does she need to see it again to get caught up, to have a refresher before you go see Rio 2?
You know what? Emma and I have not sat down and had a conference about Rio 2. So actually, we might this weekend.
That's not... Okay.
We might this weekend because it's daddy-daughter weekend.
When you have... Are you going to... Is this going to come up in the weekend sous chef planning?
You know what? It might come up during weekend sous chef planning, although I think we have a pretty good idea. It will involve a meat and it will involve a potato. So there's okay. That. We got that settled.
That kind of narrows the field.
That narrows it down a little bit. But yeah, Rio 2, of course, the voices of Jesse Eisenberg, Anne Hathaway, Andy Garcia, George Lopez, Jamie Foxx, Bruno Mars, Will I Am, and Rachel Crowe, and yeah, so there's more characters from Rio, and there's still Samba. And
I believe, if I saw correctly, which I think I did, and if I remember correctly, which I think I do, in the credits, in the trailers at the end, it says very quickly, music by Sergio Mendez.
Well, that would make sense. It being down there. So, mm-hmm. I guess Christian Chenoweth is also, and Rita Moreno. Well, there's a lot of vocal talent on this one. So who knows? Maybe I'll see Rio this week. We'll just have to check. So that is opening in theaters. Also opening in theaters is a film that apparently Nicolas Cage did and is not clearing off his debt. It's the drama Joe, not to be confused with the Peter Boyle film of the same title from the early 70s. We also have The Lunchbox, which you know of this.
Yes, I know of this.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, why don't you tell the people then? You're so smart.
Well, the only thing... The only thing I know of it is that I saw a poster of it at Keystone Arts and saw a trailer of it at Keystone Arts before Bianca and I saw. What did we see?
I don't know.
I forget.
I wasn't there.
It was a couple weeks ago.
Was it obnoxious?
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Ah, okay.
It was not obnoxious. But saw the trailer. Yes, that looks good. We want to see that. So that could
both
be on the
of
plans
you
this weekend as well. Yes.
Oh, good. That's
so
good.
It is a busy weekend. So.
It is a busy weekend. This is, I will read according to the Non Nouveau, lonely housewife decides to try adding some spice to her stale marriage, by preparing a special lunch. No finger quotes there for her neglectful husband. Then delivery goes astray, and I bet... It's not in a capsule. Hilarity will ensue.
Hijinks and various chicanery.
Or shenanigans. Well, if they're younger, probably shenanigans. I think if you're married, you have less shenanigans and more chicanery.
We are closing in on our political here. I'm just looking at the...
Because of our pitch?
is
Matt and Kobe are
they
on.
They are coming in hot and fast right now.
You know what? Because forget them on HD1. They're on HD2. They're on fire. So we also have the horror film Oculus. Kobe won't be seeing that.
Nope.
Not screened for press. We also have The Raid 2 from director Gareth Evans. More ratings.
Still rating.
Sorry. No, but this is the sequel to The Raid Redemption, which I remember right, the IFJA named Best Foreign Film a few years ago. So if you are into Asian action, Asian fighting at an extreme measure. Fighting. That is out there. Ed Johnson, you can read Ed Johnson's review of The Lunchbox and The Raid 2 in Nouveau, actual Nouveau. And, but I do want to start with the film. I was really happy I got this. And, you've heard me say before, if you're a longtime listener, the post Academy Award, lull that usually happens, and that fortunately that has not been happening, at least in Indianapolis. We've had films like Grand Budapest Hotel and The Past and Jim's Vermeer. So, I mean, there's been pretty good films coming out. And then there are also the films that because they get nominated or even more so because they win, they get a wider release. Well, it's been almost a month, if not over a month, since the Academy Awards, and Indianapolis finally gets the fifth of the best animated feature nominees in town. It is a French-Belgian production called Ernest and Celestine, which, again, this was one of those films I didn't know anything about, and this happens every now and then. I kind of like, as critics, we hear a lot and we see a lot of trailers and we read, and some read more than others, and present company excluded. So we know it's rare to walk into a theater and not know anything about what you're about to see. That's a rare treat, and Ernest and Celestine is one of those. We heard the title because the other films that were nominated this year, we knew. Frozen, obviously. The Croods, which we saw was actually better than I thought. Despicable Me 2, not necessarily, but cute. And The Wind Rises, of course, the Miyazaki film. And then Ernest and Celestine. So we finally got it. It is finally in theaters. And I get to do one of my favorite things on film sociology. I get to play trailers like this.
Yes.
Le grand méchant ours, quand il se réveille, il a faim. Et qu'est-ce que le grand méchant ours préfère?
Une petite souris.
Toute crue, c'est comme ça qu'il les préfère, toute vivante.
Mais vous êtes sûr qu'il est si méchant?
Voici Célestine. Voilà son monde, celui d'en bas, dans lequel elle se sent abandonnée. Voici Ernest. Voilà sa vie, celle d'en haut, dans laquelle il se sent mal aimé. Ils vivent dans deux mondes que tout oppose.
Sors de là tout de suite!
Mais aujourd'hui, tout est sur le point de changer.
Comment tu t'appelles?
Hein? Ernest.
Moi, c'est Célestine. Ernest,
c'est toi qui l'as introduit ici.
Mais qu'est-ce qu'elle a fait de mal à Célestine?
Introduire un ours enragé chez nous?
Nous ne prendrons aucun repos tant que nous n'aurons pas retrouvé Ernest. Mmh. Célestine.
Ne t'en fais pas, nous ne les trouverons jamais.
Un ours et une souris, ça va pas.
Les ours en haut et les souris en bas, c'est ça?
Eh bien, depuis toujours, c'est comme ça. Célestine, allez, on y va maintenant. Viens.
Ernest et Célestine.
What's so, in case you missed that, it's about a bear and a mouse.
What's French for in a world? It did have a little bit of that Inner World trailer voice, only in French. Yeah, it's and by the way, when you see this, it's at Landmark Keystone Arts. There is, I guess they're alternating, but there is the original version in French, and there is a dubbed version that apparently features the likes of the vocal talents of Forest Whitaker, Lauren Bacall, and Paul Giamatti. So pick whichever one. No, pick the French one. Come on.
I don't like to read.
You can read for an hour and a half.
Come
on. Actually, less than that. This thing is less than 80 minutes long. So that's got that going for it. They're not padding it with pop songs and pop culture references.
No hip-hop dancing.
No hip-hop. No sunglasses wearing. No no bad to the bone. Or who let the dogs out, because there's no dogs in this film. It's bears and mice. And apparently, like I said, I think this is based on a series of children's books. I miss those. That's a shame. I'd like to check them out. But we have two different worlds. We have the mouse world and the bear world, and they fear each other. And
naturally,
of course, because you should fear mice if you're a bear.
Maybe. I don't know. No? I don't know what it's like to be a bear.
I don't either. Although I've been told I look like a bear, but that's another conversation.
Oh, yeah, I remember
Diesel
that
Fox, hello. So there's – and, of course, they are two unlikely friends, as you find out. One is a little girl. Celestine is an orphan mouse. He has to have little mice orphanages and with Miss Clavel. And apparently there's a whole underworld about the buying and selling of bear teeth. You know, it's a really interesting facet of this thing. But anyway, everybody is told in the mouse world to fear bears. Celestine does not. She actually likes to make drawings of bears and mice being friends. Ernest, the bear, is a street musician who gets in trouble for performing in public. Strict French downtown laws. And has a sweet tooth and is starving. And there's a little bit of the mouse and the lion between two people that aren't supposed to like each other, or a mouse and a lion, or a buddy cop film, where they don't like each other, but they have to work together, and they get the job done. So there's a little bit of that. And also, when they invade each other's worlds, there's a little bit of Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., So they're little. It'll remind you of little things. It's a very sweet, simplistic, really well drawn film. There's especially at the beginning a lot of grays and browns. But it looks cool, and it's doesn't have a computer look to
That's
it.
That's what, yeah, I noticed that in the
It almost appears hand-drawn.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. There's some nice visuals. There's actually a couple of wacky chase scenes. It's kind of Keystone Cop-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Esque. And it's a sweet film about a friendship between, a mouse and a bear. So I was talking with Stacey Studeville, her daughter Maya, who's 3, 4? And of course, has Frozen memorized. Apparently, and I suggested, and I hope Stacey says she's going to do it. And I hope she does. About this, and this is also a film. If you see it in French, I think little kids will like it because there's animals. Two, it's a fairly simple story. So even if they can't read, I think they're going to get the story. They're going to get that they're friends and they're lost and they're being chased and there's lots of snow and candy. Which not every film has.
No.
So.
No.
But yeah, it's a really delightful little film. It's very cute. And yes, you can see it two ways. I would say stick with the French version. But I'm really, really glad I got to see this. This is, it's not fair. I know I called it the fifth nominee. It's kind of not fair to call it that because that means there's a place. I'm sure there's a placing in votes, but they don't put the voting results out at the Academy Awards as well. They shouldn't. But I really enjoyed this, and I'm really glad it's out.
Yes, 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 yes!
So going back, I was looking back at the best animated features, and this is going back to, because the category came up in 2001, so we're going to go back in time a little bit. 2001, only 3 films were up for best animated feature. Monsters, Inc.
Brilliant.
Jimmy Neutron, and didn't win. Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius.
No.
Well, they had to fill it. And the winner that year, Shrek.
Oh, yeah.
I personally probably would have switched those. I probably would have had Monsters, Inc. Because I have one tiny issue with Shrek.
Being?
Apparently the theme of the story is to accept people for who they are unless they're short and you can make jokes at Farquaad's expense.
Uh-huh.
And not just because I'm 5'5".
And a half.
And a power forward from the Ball State University. 2002, Treasure Planet. Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron. Lilo and Stitch. Ooh. Ice Age. And winning that year, the Miyazaki film Spirited Away. Well deserved, that one. Only 3 in 2003. And this is a great example. This is one that got a film that was nominated and got a wider release. The Triplets of Belleville. French. Emma also thinks the unknown best animated feature films are always French. She's actually not off. Triplets of Belleville, Brother Bear, and winning in 2003, Finding Nemo.
Of course.
Yep. 2004, not 3 films. Shrek 2.
Still Shrek.
Still Shrekking. And actually, I think better than Shrek. Shark Tale. Bad. Emma wanted to. I saw it, and it was really bad, just not fun, and it was
just dumb.
It's dumb. It is dumb, Joe, and it's not an art film. And you were going for that one, weren't you?
No, I was looking at other stuff that I had here.
But Shark Tale, I think, was the first film that Emma said she wanted to see it, and then I kind of ignored it. Daddy, we're gonna go see Shark Tale. I don't think it's in theaters anymore. Is it out on DVD yet?
No, we missed that one.
No, I think there's problems with the music rights.
They're just all sold out.
Yeah, and they're all messed up. So anyway, Shrek 2, Shark Tale in 2004, of course winning The Incredibles.
Okay.
Yeah, that's well deserved. 2005, good year. Only 3 films. Howl's Moving Castle, the Miyazaki film. Corpse Bride. And winning Wallace and Gromit, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Didn't see it.
You have not seen that.
No, not really one for claymation either.
But it's very clever and very English.
Yeah, I don't know.
And and it also features film sociology guest Nicholas Smith, who's been on the show. Okay, 2006, weak year. Monster House, Cars, and winning Happy Feet. 2007, Surf's Up. Persepolis. I think that's French and Iranian.
Persepolis.
Pardon my French. again, you know, odd one out. They got more. And then, of course, winning Ratatouille.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
absolutely brilliant.
Yep. 2008, Kung Fu Panda. Way fun. Bolt. And winning in 2008, of course, WALL-E. Well-deserved. Really?
Pretty heavy-handed.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Okay. 2009, not the fifth nominee, The Secret of Kells. Really pretty-looking animated film. Just check that out. The Princess and the Frog. Fantastic Mr. Fox. Really like that. I think a Criterion edition of Fantastic Mr. Fox is coming out, if it's not out already. Coraline. And winning in 2009, the animated film with the saddest beginning opening 10 minutes in animated film history, more than Bambi, Up.
Oh. Haven't seen it.
You've not seen Up.
Nope.
Boy, you're what is Kobe watching pile is getting taller.
With cartoons.
That's right. It's not a cartoon. It's an animated feature. It's not a comic. It's a graphic novel. 2010. This is another one that Emma and I had heard about, and then we saw it together. And, of course, we saw it together. I'm driving. She's a child. but The Illusionist, which was really nice. This is I'm letting this one out. The Illusionist is the first time Emma and I both, not only did we both cry at a movie, but we both cried at the same time. Yeah, we admit that. We're not going to have that show. Films made you cry. How to Train Your Dragon, which was a lot of fun, and winning in 2010, Toy Story 3. 2011, Puss in Boots, Kung Fu Panda 2.
Still kung-fuing.
Still panda-ing. two films that got a wider release because they were nominated. Chico and Rita, which is...
Oh, man, I want to see that. So
I know,
bad.
We still have to look for that. And A Cat in Paris. Don't know if they know Ernest and Celestine. And then winning in 2011, well-deserved, Rango. 2012, the film that should have won, Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Pirates, Band of Misfits, Paranorman, Frankenweenie, and winning in 2012, Brave. Yeah. And of course, we already talked about winning in 2013, Frozen. Other nominees, The Croods, Despicable Me 2, The Wind Rises, and Ernest and Celestine, which is now in theaters, and you should go check that out. They are really, really good. Okay. Well, it's only April, and we now have the third film featuring Kevin Costner. It just happens this way sometimes. He's in a new comedy drama called Draft Day. It's the life of 12 hours for the GM of the Cleveland Browns. It's because if it were the Detroit Lions, it would be a tragedy. So play the trailer.
Play the thing.
Yeah.
This is the draft day Browns fans were waiting for.
Sonny, I hope you're listening. You run this team. You're the general manager. You can fix.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Sonny.
Sonny.
Every year, someone comes out of this looking like a donkey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good, because tomorrow I got a feeling it could be you if you don't make this deal.
Let's talk about the draft. I need you to make a splash, Sonny. And if you can't do it, then I have to do it.
Just to be clear here, you're threatening to fire me, right? Your job is to coach a team I give you. They do it different in Dallas?
Yeah, they do. They win. A lot.
How is it that the ultimate prize in the most macho sport ever invented is a piece of jewelry?
We talk football?
We can always talk football.
I just want the team that I want one time.
You see things other people don't see.
Rewind that back to the start of the play.
That's one of the things I love about you. All that matters is what you think. Write your own story, Sonny.
I want this team's future back. Let's get busy.
Draft Day. History in the making. 224 young men are about to become players in the National Football League.
Bo Callahan, he's the surefire slam dunk number one pick.
Trade me. I'm going to do what's best for the team.
This is the draft analysis we've all been working on for the last 2 months.
Just made a trade with the Seahawks.
Sonny, that's our future.
You sold a cow for magic beans.
How does the entire world already know about this, Mom?
Because I just tweeted it.
You're on Twitter?
You're not.
I love having the number one pick.
I hope that you would.
The Cleveland Browns are now on the clock.
It's go time, boss.
You're going rogue.
Who are you going to take?
What's happening?
Who are you picking?
You son of a...
I need 5 minutes, and then you can fire me.
I got Shawn Michaels on the line.
Sonny, are we trading six?
I quit, Sonny.
Don't quit. See what I do from here. You're going to like this.
The football world is in shock, wondering what exactly the Cleveland Browns, Sonny Weaver Jr., is cooking up here.
They're not going to believe what's happening.
You make this deal right now, say it with me.
An absolute stutter.
Okay, screw it. No more offer.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah, I am. Haven't I proved that already?
Wow. You did not talk over the trailer, Kobe.
No, I mean, it was just catchphrase after catchphrase.
Guitar riff. Kinda. No, that's an action film. Because when in doubt, put Costner in a sports film. I think it seems to be the...
I was interested.
Go ahead. I want to hear what you think.
Ed Johnson-Ott was on here last week talking about this briefly.
Yeah.
And Chris Lloyd as well, briefly.
Yes.
And from what they were saying, there are parts of this that are pretty good. The back office dealings, whatnot. I did not expect them or anybody to have anything positive to say about this because I feel like if you want to see... It's a movie about the NFL draft.
Yes.
The draft is coming up in
a few weeks. It's a lot more than that. It's about one man's struggle.
Your future.
It's your destiny.
Yeah.
So, I know. It's a nice tie-in with the National Football League.
Yeah. So the draft is coming up in a couple weeks. Watch the draft. Tune into ESPN. They're going to have backstories. Tune into the NFL Network. They're going to have backstories. Why do you need this?
Because the mall crowd doesn't want to sit through the NFL draft. Because the mall crowd.
But that's the thing. The people that are going to go see this are going to be glued to their TVs in a couple weeks watching the draft,
and they'll be nitpicking every single thing facet of this film.
Yeah, it's going to be the theaters are going to be filled this weekend with meatballs talking about the Cleveland, you know it. People are going to come to the theaters in their football jerseys, their Cleveland Brown jerseys.
How about that's going to be Mark Dubeck?
Yes, yeah.
and my buddy Ryan. And do I have another Cleveland? Yeah, well, he's not here, but yeah, Michael Simon. I'm sure he'll go to a Cleveland multiplex in his Browns jersey. I did not wear my Lions jersey when I saw this yesterday because it involves the Browns. Because I know you have a thing about if you're going to see a game between the Colts and the Patriots, you don't wear a third jersey.
No.
Third party jersey.
That's just to be a jerk. People used to show up at the Pacer games. A few years ago.
In a Miami Heat jersey?
No, in like Colts jerseys.
Oh, different sports,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, just totally all together. You'll go to concerts. You'll go to concerts out at Klipsch, you know, big arena concerts.
No,
and people will show up in not band shirts or anything. They'll show up in, like, Peyton Manning jerseys.
On the flip side, I swear I'll get to the draft day review. on the flip side, I was told in high school if you wore the band shirt of the band you were seeing.
Oh yeah, no, that's not cool.
That's
apparently.
Not cool. But
yeah,
I was wearing a Colts jersey. Apparently, is not either.
Well, I don't know. I was put up to that band thing a couple years ago. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
But
well, it's good. You should ask me.
Since then, well, see, I don't know.
I could give you fatherly advice, like what's up with this Edwardian era nonsense. No, he didn't say nonsense. All right. This is a nice little tie-in with the NFL. And by the way, the NFL. Obviously agreed to participate in this.
Yeah, by the way, it sounds we got participation from Berman.
And yes, there is a Roger Goodell. And of course, yeah, there's a little bit, especially the first half. I will say that Chris, Ed Johnson-Ott's review in Nouveau liked it. He's going to pick at it a little bit, as does Chris. And I kind of feel the same that Chris does. One of the problems, it's directed by Ivan Reitman, who gave us Ghostbusters, Stripes, Meatballs, Twins, Legal Eagles. His last really good film was Dave, and that was when I was in college. So that's been 20 years. The problem apparently is a young pair of rookie writers who cram in a lot of story for something that's called draft day. It's not draft day with Kevin Costner and Jennifer Garner. And by the way, don't you wish all salary cap whizzes who love football look like Jennifer Garner? And is with Kevin Costner, who I believe is a decade and a half older than she is, Well, not that there's anything wrong with that. But there's that. There's this whole family dynamic because he fired his dad who just died, and his mom is played by Ellen Burstyn, and she's a little sassy, and she's on Twitter with her white hair, and so there's a little bit of that. And I know they had to have women in this film so women would go see it.
Yes,
because if you're going to see a film with Dennis Leary, Frank Langella, and Kevin Costner, no women are going to go to that.
And the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, that's the other thing. There are a number of shots that there'll be this big sweeping kind of helicopter shot over the city, over the downtown, and it'll say Cleveland, home of the Browns. I mean, this is at times a film for people who know absolutely nothing about football. Nothing. And once it gets to the title of the film, you know, the film actually goes through a span, I think, of like 12 hours. And once we actually get to the draft moment itself, it's pretty good.
That's what they were saying last.
So, time. You know, I wish that there was kind of a sharper, almost like a Social Network. I wish somebody like Aaron Sorkin would do the screenplay, but that's obviously not the case. And then if it were the case, if Aaron Sorkin did do a script about the draft, the NFL would not be involved. You would have the Miami Sharks or the other football teams from any given Sunday. So, and don't you love movie football teams?
Yeah.
We'll need to work on that.
The weird jerseys and colors and
like
logos.
No team in their right mind would have a look like that.
That is
You know
tacky.
What? I think we will have to worry. It's right. A big shout out to my buddy Kirsten and my buddies Jen and Rob, who we have a small group that through Facebook. We love minor league teams. We love minor league sports teams because they have the great logos and the great weird names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the Fighting Biscuits down south as a baseball team.
The Kannapolis Intimidators.
The Gary Railcats.
Yes.
You know, things like that. So I think we should work on the football movie football team and
that
the movie baseball
done.
Team. So we'll work on it. Anyway, you know, once it gets into the actual nuts and bolts about the draft and the dealings and double dealings and counter dealings, and by the way, it is no shocker here. It's going to wrap up in a nice little bow. Mm-hmm. The way they do it, it's kind of cool. And if you watched a draft, I think Costner's character would have been fired even at the end of this film without giving away a whole lot. But you do have like Costner wants to draft the player, and the coach played by Dennis Leary, because he's fiery, wants a running back. And by the way, who drafts a running back in the first round? Apparently the Cleveland Browns want to. And then also on the that's available is the hotshot quarterback. He's not Johnny Manziel, but he's somebody like that. Somebody who's a hotshot. And you know what he does? You know what his skill is?
He wins.
He wins.
Oh, did they talk about that?
They talk about his skill is winning.
Did they talk about the intangibles?
Yeah, they do talk about. You know, his character goes to Wisconsin, and the Wisconsin coach is played by Sam Elliott, with short hair, kept the stash, and in red and white football coach gear. So yeah, there's a number of cameos. You know, there's Roger Goodell, Jim Brown shows up, Rosanna Arquette, Ellen Burstyn. There's a lot of them. So, and Costner, this is a different thing. Costner's now obviously in a different phase of his career. I mean, there was a period 10 years ago where his films were going straight to DVD. And I think this is not the Costner of Tin Cup and For the Love of the Game.
Tin Cup's great.
Tin Cup is great. And Bull Durham, where he's a happy-go-lucky kind of a schlub and still gets through things. He's older. He's more tired. More older, more tireder, still tireder. Sorry, it's public radio, but he's fine. And I still haven't seen the last Jack Ryan film that should be coming out on DVD in about a month or so. And he was okay in 3 Days to Kill. The script had issues, so it's nice to see him taking charge with something. The script has flaws, and all the backstory with Jennifer Garner and the mother and the dead dad, and you know, not really needed. But then again, if they didn't have any of this, I think less people were going to go check this out. Mm-hmm. So
apparently, not just the Cleveland Browns get some good FaceTime, but also apparently some of the other worst teams in the league, like Jacksonville.
Well, there's scenes involving Jacksonville, because you're told, Jacksonville,
yeah,
home of the Jaguars. And what, back then, still not drafting Tebow. but there's Jacksonville, Buffalo, Houston, Seattle. By the way, Seattle's not bad. So how fun is it that Seattle is in the, you know, is in the running for the number one pick? It's a movie, folks. So yeah, there's, and I think Houston, I think I mentioned that. So okay. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. So you want it to be more than what it should be, but for what it is, especially in the second half of the film, it's decent. It's pretty good.
I'm getting this out of it.
Why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
Like throw laptops and bark at each other.
Be fiery.
You know what? There is a little fire and there's a little passion.
Okay.
And at times, on the draft moment, it actually momentum.
Mm, okay.
So, okay. Got a couple other film notes. Going on the 12th and the 13th. At IUPUI, at the Lilly Auditorium, is the Italian Film Festival. I'm reading from the actual Nouveau. IUPUI has the latest from Italy throughout the month, starting with Viva l'Italia, which finds a corrupt senator unable to tell a lie after suffering a stroke. That is April 12th at 2 p.m. And Balancing Act, about a family fractured after dad admits to an affair. That is April 13th at 4 p.m. Go to Italian Film Fests. 1S. ItalianFilmFest.org for more information. And where's the other one?
In a couple weeks, we got the Shining Light Film Festival coming up at the Central Library. There.
Also at the Central Library, going on Monday at 6 p.m., the documentary Wrinkles of the City, La Havana, about French artist J.R., which will be shown during Expressions of the City, discussing the purpose and place of street art at the Indianapolis Library downtown. This is this is being presented by Heartland Truly Moving Pictures. So that is Monday, 6 o'clock at Central Library Clues Auditorium, and it's free. It is free. Now, I talked with...
I think that's actually part of their Sister Cities Brazil program that they have going on there at the library.
Really? I'm glad you brought us... that information. Kobe Slagle, host of The Cool Down, Saturday nights at 7 on WFYI HD2. Very cool. What is on The Cool Down tomorrow night?
The Cool Down tomorrow night, I haven't decided yet. Tune in for the exciting conclusion.
You've been busy. So
it's been a busy week.
I bet. So, and speaking of busy, I talked with John Vickers, our guy at IU Cinema down at your alma mater, and he's got not one, but two heavy hitters coming to the Bloomington campus. Mm-hmm. So, Kobe, why don't you rattle off the week?
Yes, tonight, IU Cinema, 6:30, we have Astronome and King Richard, 2004 and 2010 Experimental Shorts Program. 6:30 tonight, following that at 9:30 from this year, foreign language drama, Vic and Flo Saw a Bear. Do you know it? Have you heard of it?
I have not seen it.
Okay. Saturday, April 12th, 3 p.m. from 1961, the foreign language drama, Last Year at Marienbad. Marienbad?
Have not seen it.
6:30, following that up with Vic and Flo Saw a Bear again. And then tomorrow night, 9:30 at IU Cinema, Nymphomaniac Volume 1.
Lars von Trier.
Continuing on Sunday, 3 o'clock, again, Vic and Flo Saw a Bear. IU Cinema has a number of different series. This series is just called Meryl Streep, and at 6:30...
That's all you really need.
Just Meryl Streep, 1983, Silkwood.
Really
at
good.
At 6:30 on good. Sunday evening. And then Monday, President's Choice.
Love the President's Choice.
From 1971.
Oh, it's your era.
It is my era. The foreign language drama, Death in Venice.
Ooh, wow. Good one.
That's at 7 o'clock Monday night, the 14th, and then Tuesday, the 15th, at 7 o'clock August, Osage County.
Which just came out on DVD.
Also in the Meryl Streep.
Yes. And I believe Meryl's going to be there. She's lecturing down there. I think the event is sold out. Because you keep going through the list. Keep going. Because that and second. Roger Corman's going to be there, I think, next weekend.
Let's see. Meryl Streep.
Please keep going.
Lecture Wednesday, April 16th.
Go through the rest of the week, if you would, please.
Hang on one moment. Let me get back
here.
So Tuesday the 15th.
That's me saying there were two heavy hitters coming to campus.
Yes, Tuesday the 15th, we have August, Osage County. Meryl Streep is lecturing. at IU Cinema on Wednesday at 3 p.m. and then Prairie Home Companion.
The last film directed by Robert Altman, mm-hmm. and Meryl Streep is in that. From nice scenes with her and Lily Tomlin.
Mm-hmm. Thursday, 6:30 p.m. in the Meryl Streep collection from 1982, Sophie's Choice.
Excellent. Excellent. Gut-wrenching.
And then, let's see, at 9:30 next Thursday in the Art and Legacy of Roger Corman series, Corman's World, Exploits of a Hollywood Rebel, 2011 documentary.
I own that. Very fun documentary. Worth checking out.
Then, next Friday, a week from today, at 3 p.m., Roger Corman lecture.
Yeah, we'll see. Because John and I talked, and I'm like, I might have to head south.
Then we have, at 6:30 next Friday, The Wild Angels from 1966.
Ooh, yeah. Have you seen any 60s biker movies, Mr. Slagle?
Other than Easy Rider, no.
Okay, all right.
Nope.
All right. Good to know.
The Trip from 1967.
Bruce Dern and Peter Fonda.
And then Saturday, next Saturday, IU Cinema from 1962 at 3 p.m., The Intruder.
Okay.
The Tomb of Ligia from 1965.
Yep.
Exploits of a Hollywood Rebel at 9:30. And it looks at like at that point we get back to, actually that would be Easter Sunday at that point, Finding Vivian Maier at 3 p.m. and The Motel Life at 6:30 Sunday, April 20th.
So yeah, Meryl Streep and Roger Corman at IU.
In the same week.
Boy, take them to the Irish Lion. All right, we're going to take a short break and we'll get to what is on DVD and Blu-ray. And we have Dead People We Like. Because we don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Nope.
And because of a dead person we like, we're also going to go into the archives with a film involving a dead person we like. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Thank you, Tyler.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org, also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. Don't forget, folks, 1-800-233-0020, or you can go to wfyi.org to support WFYI, support all the shows, all the local shows that you hear on HD1 as well as HD2. Of course, you can hear Film Sociology, you can hear The Cool Down, you can hear Exponential Radio, you can hear shows that are on different times and different days here in HD2 compared to HD1, and then it shows that you can't hear anywhere else but here at HD2. So you can go to WFYI.org and check out all the schedules for all the shows. So 1-800-233-0020 or go to WFYI.org. Kobe is standing up in his chair, thumbs up in the air.
We have officially
waving them like
made
they just
the goal.
Don't care. We've made our
we
goal.
We have made the goal of $275,000 in 7 days this time as opposed to the normal 12 days.
Thank you so,
thank you for your
so
generous and
much.
Continued support. We will return you to regularly scheduled uninterrupted programming tomorrow morning during weekend edition.
But not now.
Not now. Thank you for your support. And
because we couldn't do film sociology with all the sound clips and wonderful guests and the odd interviews and the odd sound bites and the obscure references and the blaxploitation movie music, none of this could happen without the support of you. And
that's
we
right.
want to say thank you.
Public radio would not exist if not for its audience and its very valuable members.
So thank you for supporting WFYI and film sociology. And of course, it's never too late or too early to support WFYI. So now that we've met our goal, and if you haven't called, you can always go to WFYI.org and show your support then, especially if you're listening to this on Sunday. So there is that.
And also, if you are listening to this on Sunday, the offer still stands. Put in the comment section of your pledge form, I listen to film sociology. I love film sociology, something of that ilk. And Matt and I will be glad to include you in a film sociology Friday
hootenanny involving liquid and Cajun food.
Yes.
Or maybe chicken and waffles, depending on the situation.
I'm going to. We don't have that much time.
We don't have much for chicken and waffles?
Oh, man, you know that takes a long time.
But it's worth it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That sounds like some good eats.
It is some good eats. So is that on your list? But full disclosure.
Oh yeah.
Kobe has a list of places.
That's not even.
Not even
that
happening.
That surpasses
do,
that.
Have you had meetings, lunch meetings at the?
No.
No. I have. Of course, I don't mind taking 3-hour lunches.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about there, Clark.
Right there, Clark. Right there, Clark. I'm going to see if we got any hits on our
okay.
Kobe
has a list of places when he. By the way, if he's not thinking about lunch by 8 o'clock, 8 a.m., he's already behind schedule. but he has a list of places that he knows he can go to eat it that is very fast, takes a little bit of time, or takes a lot of time. And only they're written in a more colorful way, which we cannot share here on the radio. So, and that's really okay. But yeah, and of course. I enjoy the long lunches. It makes me feel like I'm on Mad Men without the six martinis.
That's what we all really want.
No, I just want Christina Hendricks to hand me a Johnny Walker, but that's another story. Okay.
Keep walking.
Keep talking. New on DVD and Blu-ray. There's only three new titles of note that are out, and probably because one of them is really big, and then you needed a comedy to counter the really big fantasy film, and then you had the art house adult drama to counter the other two. So the big title this week is The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Smaug. And less walking, like Lord of the Rings, less walking in this one. And there's a big giant dragon that's an actual Sherlock reunion.
But it talks.
And it's voiced by.
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yes. Don't we have the clip?
Oh, yeah. But I was looking at
something. You were looking at something else? Were you Googling old chicks?
No. Oh, man, see, you I were checking know where this thing is. Oh, wait.
You're multitasking.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch, Oxford University.
Yeah,
part of the East West All Stars there. Okay, you can go back and see if anybody's written anything about us. Kobe also checks.
That's what I'm.
He also checks the wall boards to see if anybody's written comments about us. So yeah, once it got to the second half of the film and there was more action and more dragon stuff, because that's all you really want is dragon stuff. The film is pretty good. But I'm not the biggest fantasy person in the world, especially that. Well, I guess the last Hobbit film would be separated into two smaller Hobbit films.
What?
I don't know. I'm just
what?
Making.
Oh, okay.
Because the running joke is now you take the last thing of whatever series and you split it into two films. So the last Hobbit film will be split into two films. They're just going to skip the book. Okay, the last movie of the trilogy? Yeah, we're going to make that into two shorter movies. So, anyway. Speaking of Meryl Streep, as we mentioned, August Osage County, which she got a nomination for, is out. A toxic dark comedy about a dysfunctional
but
family.
But apparently not a fun toxic dark comedy.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Julia Roberts, Chris Cooper. Oh, also Benedict Cumberbatch, mm-hmm. Oxford University. Sam Shepard's in this, Ewan McGregor, Abigail Breslin, really solid cast, but they all gather together for the pill-addicted mother played by Streep, whose husband, the patriarch of the family, has disappeared / died, and old wounds are ripped open real fast with this family, especially with the mother and daughter, Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep. Juliette Lewis is also in this picture as well. Yeah, at the very least, watching this, I've heard people be entertained with the dark comedy, and I've heard people, I believe some of my fellow IFJA folks, that thought the film was very shrill. And it's a 2-hour film version of a 3-hour play. So it's, I'm guessing, it's 33% less toxic than the other pictures, or is it half?
Okay.
So I would love to see the play version. My wife has seen the stage version of this, but there was a fine article that finally said stop comparing the play to the film, because 99% of the time when you film a play, you're going to open it up, which takes off some of the tension. On the flip side, because if you film a play in one location, apparently the mall crowd's going to be uncomfortable with that because it's constricted. So anyway, I liked it. It's not, you know, what didn't make my top 10, and but it did make me feel better about family gatherings. And then if you need old people jokes and you didn't see Las Vegas, I guess there's Grudge Match. So De Niro and Stallone.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you need old people jokes and little inside digs that are not that inside about Rocky and Raging Bull fighting each other, there's that. Oh, and Kevin Hart's in it. Old titles on on Blu-ray. Kobe, I think Fair Sweet Bianca might want to check these out. It's from, they've reissued two Audrey Hepburn films on Blu-ray. Because, you know, if you don't have a poster of Breakfast at Tiffany's in your dorm room,
you're not a college girl.
We can't wait to get your scathing emails saying what pigs we are. You know what? Ask us on the street sometime, or ask us at the Hootenanny. We can tell you what goes on the walls of dorm rooms for guys and for girls, at least when I was in college and then when Kobe was in college.
Very scientifically.
Very scientific. So, but the original Sabrina, Billy Wilder, William Holden, Humphrey Bogart, and the musical Funny Face with the young, fresh Audrey Hepburn and the not-so-fresh and older Fred Astaire.
But not Roman Holiday.
No, not Roman Holiday, which I think is already out on Blu-ray.
Oh.
Then again, when I'm going through the old titles, there's occasionally I'm like, didn't this already come out, and they just kind of repackaged it and put some new colors on it and are just trying to sell the old product. So also available in limited edition, you'll have to check these titles out yourself, the Woody Allen comedy Broadway Danny Rose, very funny film where he plays in kind of a low grade D talent agent. Used Cars, I think that was the first film directed by Robert Zemeckis, starring Kurt Russell and Jack Warden, about a used car lot. Really fun. This was a movie that was on cable constantly when I was a kid. So nice grown-up humor there. And the mind meld that was Wild at Heart, directed by David Lynch with Nicolas Cage and Laura Dern and Diane Ladd and Willem Dafoe. I think we need Chris Lloyd to set this up.
Okay. Chris.
I think, yeah.
Man.
You're never ready for it.
I know, and that's terrible.
It's
doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
there's a pretty big one this week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
Well, in case you didn't hear it, here it comes again. It's just a good one. Now, I was going to pull music for this one, and then I found out, well, I'll explain it. We have a couple of musical tributes before we get to Mickey Rooney. Wayne Henderson. And Kobe's going to look up this band if he hasn't heard him already. He was a founding member of the band The Jazz Crusaders, trombonist and composer, died at the age of 74. and started doing recordings, I think, in the 50s, but was with the Crusaders, and then they became they were the Jazz Crusaders, and then they became the Crusaders in 1971. Now, Henderson left the band in 1975, so this doesn't quite go into the tribute that I wanted to, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. The Crusaders, in 1979, recorded an 11-minute epic, which was, of course, shortened for radio and a single, a song called Street Life, which was sung by Randy Crawford. She also wound up re-recording the song with her own arrangement as a band leader. Street Life was originally used in the 1981 Burt Reynolds drama Sharky's Machine, which he starred and directed, and then it was used really well. It was great use of it at the beginning of Sharky's Machine, and then it was used really well because Quentin Tarantino was a big fan of Burt Reynolds, and he used it in Jackie Brown, which was the music that was played when Pam Grier is ready to go to the mall for the big money drop. So there is that. The other one, do you have this? Can you get the... The other one is guitarist Arthur Smith, who in the 1950s wrote a song. Well, he did a song called Guitar Boogie, but he also did a song called Feuding Banjos, which later became Dueling Banjos, and of course made famous in the 1972 film Deliverance. Here's a sample. Jokes were born. Rent Deliverance. There's more to this film than just the Ned Beatty scene. I'm telling you. And the scene in which this song is used, it's used really well. So thanks a lot for that, Arthur. And by the way, you'll be hearing Guitar Boogie on tomorrow night's Blues House Party. Now, of course, the big one, Mickey Rooney. Mickey Rooney, we were talking off air, 93 years old and was still working. He apparently, go to his IMDb, he had two films in pre-production and was filming another, there was yet another film version of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde that he was involved in. The man liked to work. My favorite picture from the Academy Awards this year, besides Jim Carrey imitating Bruce Dern, was a limo with actual Bruce Dern, Martin Landau, and Mickey Rooney. That's a hell-raising one right there. But he started doing movies as young as six. He did a dozens and dozens of short films and, of course, started to get known in the 30s with films like Captain's Courageous, A Family Affair, where he played, of course, Andy Hardy, The Courtesy Chairman, The Healer. He, played Puck in Midsummer Night's Dream from 1935. I got to watch the 1935 film version of the Eugene O'Neill play Ah Wilderness, where he plays Tommy, the younger brother. Eugene O'Neill's only comedy, and it showed, but it's a fun little slice of life with Wallace Berry and Lionel Barrymore for you fans of It's a Wonderful Life. Frank Albertson was in it as well. Of course, he did a lot of Andy Hardy films and, of course, did a number of films with Judy Garland. And of course, I know Fair Sweet Bianca, big Mickey and Judy fan, right?
Yes, definitely.
And Andy Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to get her in sometime if she can get off work. not there anything wrong with that. But of course, as he got older, he was still working. And, of course, he got married, what, 8 times? But doing films like Bridges of Tycho Ree, Francis in the Haunted House, Magnificent Roughnecks, Requiem for a Heavyweight, I believe. Yeah, Requiem for a Heavyweight, really good film. It's a mad, 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 mad world. And the guy just kept working. So that was very cool. The Cockeyed Cowboys, The Calico County, so many titles. The Magic of Lassie, Pete's Dragon. He was in a film called Pulp with Michael Caine where he plays a mobster. It's a lot of fun. Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toy Maker. I didn't ask for it. Eric the Viking. just a lot of work. And the last thing I remember seeing him in was the first Night at the Museum where he kept looking like he was going to whoop the tail of Ben Stiller. So anyway, he was also in Babe, Pig in the City, I think a voice. So anyway, Mickey, salute, man. You've been working your whole life. Now you can rest. We appreciate your work. All right, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
I'm off to see Booker T at the Vogue. See ya, everyone. And thanks for supporting WFYI. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We go home. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.